Now, from the Caribbean, we go back to South America, way down south to South America, which is the country is Chile. The costume here is typical of the cowboy. This is a Chilean cowboy dress, and typical of a cowgirl dress in Chile. And with their main dance, or the traditional dance of Chile, is known La Cueca, where the cowboy tries to win over the cowgirl's heart. So they try to flirt a little bit, and then at the end, the cowboy wins over her love. So here's La Cueca from Chile. Demonstration. We're going to go to a country that's full of traditions, very colorful, very lively, and that's the country of Mexico. And now, as known to most of all, uses a Mexican hat dance, but in Spanish it's called el jarabe tapatío. So it's jarabe tapatío from Mexico. Well, let me talk a little bit about Grupo Folklore Latino. We are based in West Palm Beach. We have 5 years of existence right now. These are just some of the dances that we dance. We dance right now of around 18 different dances of different countries of Latin America. We will be performing again at 4 o'clock in the amphitheater with the rest of the group that you see over there. Which we will be representing other countries such as Venezuela, Costa Rica, Spain, and some of the dances that you've seen here, but in group. Majority of our students, as you see here today, we're all from Latin American backgrounds. Some of us were born here in the United States, and some of them were born abroad in their native country. We try to maintain our traditions through our parents, through teachers that come and teach us the traditions of each dance. For instance, Julieta, she's Mexican. Her parents has helped us a lot in maintaining our roots and traditions in the group. Andres, he's from Honduras, and he's dancing Mexican dances, and he's also teaching us part of his Honduras background and also learning of other Latin American traditions. We have Ana from Peru, dancing Colombia. We have Gustavo from Honduras, also dancing from Colombia. We have Sandra, sorry with the names, Rainier, they're Dominicans, pure Dominicans. And we have Christian and Andrea, pure Chilenos too, from Chile. And like I said before, all of the kids that are you see here, they're either born here from their parents from their native country, or they were born of their native countries, and they help us maintain our traditions here in the United States and maintaining our language, our traditions, our culture, our dances, and everything that we have in the Hispanic race. So if there's any questions out there that you'd like to learn more about us, you're free to ask. Or wants to learn how to dance something, you could come and come up here and dance with us. Like again, I said, at 4 o'clock, we're going to be performing again in the amphitheater and showing rest of our dances. So is anybody interested in coming up here and learning how to dance? Some music on just to loosen up, and then we're gonna have the gentleman come and join us to dance merengue. Okay? All right, music. Okay, ready? Just moving your hips. Okay? The same step. We're gonna do turns, okay? We're gonna turn slowly. Turn. Same step. Bending your knees. There you go. Keep going. Okay, now what we're going to do is walk forward two steps and walk back two steps. The same movement, bending knees. Go. One, two. And now back. And one, two. Okay. You guys are looking good so far. Very good. Now what we're going to have, boys. Grab a partner, okay? Just grab any partner. Guys, come on in and grab a partner. Damian, Carlos, come and help us. We need partners. Try the cumbia? Okay, we want to try cumbia. Anybody else want to try cumbia? Anybody else want to try cumbia? Anybody have any questions concerning our group or anything? Okay. What? Any gentlemen coming? Would they like to join us in cumbia? This is easy too. Hey! Okay. Now, girls have a different step than the boys. I'm used to boys and girls, okay? Then the men and the women. Okay? The men's step is basically crossing your right foot over your left, but always bending your knee. Very good. Yeah. Now, you're going to use your hands, too, because your hands, you need to flirt with your girl, so you need to keep her around you. Okay? So your hands are always open. You want to have your girl near you, just like this. You want to have your girl near you, see? Okay, that's the step for the gentleman. Now, ladies, you're going to have your hand, you're going to move your hands on skirts, but basically keep your hands on your hips for now. You're going to be moving your hips around in a circle. Okay, like a hula hoop, okay? But basically, you're going to be taking baby steps, moving forward and moving your hips around. We need more gentlemen up here, if anybody wants to come up. Okay? So, ready? Okay? So, what we're going to do is put some music on. We're going to use, just loosen up, and then we're going to dance with partners, okay? So. All right, mom, music. Afternoon. Again, we're going to be at the amphitheater at 4 o'clock, representing more countries and more dances, so I hope you come and join us over there. And like I said, it was a great pleasure for us to be here, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thanks again, Grupo Folklorico, West Palm Beach. Thank you so much. Y'all were great. 4 o'clock on the main stage. We're just a little bit off schedule, but we have our performers lined up. Johnny Conga from Miami will be our next person appearing on the Florida Folklife Program stage. He is based in Miami. I understand he was from New York. He inherited his father's passion from Latin music and his Italian mother's interest in popular music. And this year, Johnny Conga is one of the featured people in the 1995-96 apprenticeship area. He will be in that apprenticeship area after this program and tomorrow. Plus, he has 4 appearances on other stages tomorrow, which you would need to go ahead and check your program for those appearances. But he will be have 2 Latin dance sets tomorrow night on the dance stage. And I believe the times for that is from 6:45 on, but check your program. 2 Latin dance sets tomorrow on the dance stage. Now, the apprenticeship area, while he's getting set up, just so you'll know, is on the other side of the tower in the Crafts Village. And he will be there during those times that he's not scheduled to be in other places performing. Just so you'll know what our schedule is, after Johnny Conga, he will be followed by Rondella, a Filipino string band from Jacksonville. We're off schedule just by about, well, we're off schedule. I'll just say that. I don't even want to look at my watch, but we do appreciate our audience understanding how the folk festival schedule can get a little bit confused. It's almost part of our tradition here. Sometimes we've even had people double scheduled, and that's just part of what can happen when you have a huge festival like we have here at the Stephen Foster Center. By the way, we are in our 44th year, and for those of you who are new to the festival, this is the oldest surviving folk festival in the United States. So we've got quite a bit of time depth.
Check, check, check.
How's everybody doing? All right?
Y'all, please, let's welcome Johnny Conga to our Folklife Area stage.
Thank you very much. All right. Thank you very much. My real name is Juan Restivo Trevisano Urquiaga Quiñones Jr., but they call me JC, Johnny Conga. Makes it easier that way. Give you a little bit of history about myself. I started picking up the drums, or say beating on things that primarily belonged to my mother in her kitchen, and which were primarily pots, pans, her old sugar boxes. And I would beat on them all day long, and my father was going, no, but I want you to be a computer programmer. You know, computers are the thing of the future. And actually, I was graduated from the Computer International Data Processing Institute of New York City, second highest in my class. And I did study computers for a little while, but nothing excited me more or did anything for me more than the drum. History on the conga drum. Conga. Conga. All right? It's not kunga, it's not kanga, it's conga. All right? These drums came, of course, if you were here earlier, you saw a incredible demonstration from Val, man, Serrano, man. He's just incredible, and I applaud him. My fellow drum brother, he's just incredible. I hate guys who can play more than one instrument, so but I actually like the guy who gave you a brief history on the drum and everything. The conga drum itself went through many transitions out of West Africa. Ngoma is the word for drum out of West Africa, and the Ngoma drums of West Africa were shorter and more barrel-shaped. The advent of the conga drum was through the influence of the Spaniard rum barrels that the Spaniards brought from Spain to Cuba in the 1800s, actually from the 1600s on to Cuba. And they The slaves, according to Cuban law, as late as 1898 in Cuba, at the time when the slaves were freed, and they were the last slaves freed in the Western Hemisphere, were in Cuba. And up until that time, they were not allowed to play any drums whatsoever. It was totally against the law. The good people of the neighborhood, quote unquote, would complain if they heard anything out of the ordinary in the middle of the night, like drumming. And what would happen is that the police or the government soldiers would come and they would confiscate the drums. Out of that came what they call, I don't have one here with me, unfortunately, to show you, what they call the cajon. The cajon is a box. It's actually, they took codfish boxes and they took out one side of it and they played on the codfish boxes. They took a pair of spoons and a couple of sticks and two sticks that they call the clave, which is the essential and the root form of all Latin music, which is the clave rhythmic pattern, which is, they have two of them. I'll play the first one, which is called 3-2 clave. Now that's the typical basic clave music, clave rhythmic pattern in all Latin dance music. The other one, that clave we like to say is the Mexican clave, and the Cuban clave is 2-3, which is, the first one with three beats in the first bar, two in the second. The second pattern is two beats in the first bar, three in the second bar, which distinguishes them from other Latin countries, the Cuban rhythmic pattern called the clave. Okay, which also comes from Africa. The slaves, being ingenious as they were, had to keep their traditions alive. Like I said, turn to playing boxes and everything. And even when the good people of the neighborhood heard the drums and everything and the police showed up, they didn't see any drums. So they were like totally mystified, like, we're hearing these drums and everything, but where are they? We don't see them. Because all the people did was just put down the boxes and the spoons and the sticks and the cans and, you know, just act nonchalant. And the police would just get, well, you know, tell the good people, hey, you know, there's no drums. Yeah, but we're hearing this noise and they're beating it. Well, and it went on and went on. And to this day, it is part of the folklore tradition of Cuba to play the cajon or the boxes. Eventually, when the laws were erased and the government realized that you can't take culture or tradition away from people, that you have to allow it to exist, because if you take the culture and tradition away from people, they don't have very much left to live with and for and on as far as the people themselves. You take religion away from people, you know what happens. You take culture away from people, you know what happens. You're dictating to them and you're creating a situation that is going to be very unhealthy for everybody. Castro realized that he could not stop certain cultural traditions amongst the black Cubans, because he knew that if he did that, they would rise up against him. So to this day, he has allowed them to play their drums. And in his attitude is, they can play all day long as they want, as long as they don't bother me. See, that's why it still exists to this day, and he has allowed them, because he understands the strength in that tradition and culture of these people, and he's very afraid of it. So he allows it to go on to this day. Unfortunately, there are restrictions and everything in that country. When you live by a dictatorship, it's a very sad thing. But he cannot take the culture and the traditions away. So eventually, the black Cubans, they saw these rum barrels, and they said, well, what would happen, man, if we just, like, you know, take off the top, we put skins on them, and they became congas. Eventually, they became more sophisticated. 1947, they had to heat the drums up. They didn't have any keys like this, or lugs, and brackets, and rims. They were just tacked on. They're called tack heads. And they would just take a mule skin and tack the mule skin onto the head after drying it out and cutting it and everything and skinning it and everything and putting it on, then just tack it up. And then make a little fire and then turn the drum over towards the fire and rub the heat in, which would raise the pitch of the drum so they can play. In 1947, there was a man named Vergara who, along with Patato Valdez, the great conga player, master conga player who's around today, God bless him, he's 76 years old and he's still playing, Patato Valdez. And him, Vergara and Patato got together and they created the hooks and the rims for the drums to create the tension that we now have to be able to create different tones on the conga drum. I grew up in the Bronx, in New York City, and I was influenced by A lot of guys in the street, a lot of drumming. We used to play on car tops and mailboxes and anything we can beat on, school desks. Actually, I learned how to play on the top of a school desk from a Puerto Rican guy who was playing already.